The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Baba Mitziah, Daf Pezayim. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Abraham ben Esther. Hashem Tenechanu Begin Eden. Amen. Begin today's daf on Pevav Amud Bet, and we are going to start in the bottom of the Amud, starting from Vayira Elav. That's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins to give some derashot on the story of when Abraham was visited by the angels. Vayira elav Hashem b'elonei mamre, v'hu yoshev petach ha'ohel kechom hayom. He was sitting in front of his tent by the heat of the day. So the Gemara asks, "Mai kechom hayom?" What does it mean by the heat of the day? Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chani b'Rabbi Harina, oto hayom yom shlishi shel milah shel Avraham haya. That day was the third day from the circumcision of Avraham Avinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu l'shod Avraham. Kadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Avraham to fulfill Kor Cholim. Hotziya Kadosh Baruch Hu Hamam min Artika. God removed the sun literally from its shell in order to make it excruciatingly hot. Kedesh shelo yitriach otot tzaddik be'orchim. So Avraham will not be bothered by having to tend to guests. Shadred Eliezer lemepak lebara. So he sent Eliezer outside to go see if there's any guests, if there's any wayfarers walking. Lepak velo ashkach. He came back and says, "I don't find any." Amar lo mehem na lach. He says, "I don't believe you." Abraham felt that Eliezer was lying to protect Abraham, because he didn't want his master to be troubled by taking care of the guests. He says, "I don't believe you. You're doing it to protect me." Hainu da'am le'taman, that's what they say in Eretz Yisrael, le'temnuta be'avdeh. There's no trust when it comes to slaves. Nafak ihu, he himself went out, hazya la'kadosh baruch hu, deka'e ababa. He saw that a kadosh baruch hu was standing by the door. Hainu dechtiv, al na ta'avor me'al avdecha. But the pasuk says that Avraham Avinu, when he saw a kadosh baruch hu, he said, Don't go away from me. The Gemara says in another place that Avraham Avinu saw the Shekhinah and then he saw the guests. So he told God, "Al na tavor ma'avdecha, stay here. I'm going to take care of the guests." So the Gemara learned that from here, gedolah hachnasat orchim yoter mekabalat pene Shekhinah. Greeting guests is even greater than greeting the Shekhinah itself. Kevan dechazadeka asar v'shareh. So Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that Avraham Avinu was untying the band or the bandage that was on the Brit Milah and then tying it again. Amar lav ora hara lemekamecha. It's not derech eretz to stand over in front of Avraham when he's taking care of the bandaging. Hainu dichtiv. That's also the same thing that happened to the angels. It says vayisa ena vayar v'inesh losha anashim nitzavim alav. It says there was three men, which we know those were the angels, that were standing over Avraham. And then it says, Vayar, Vayarot Tekratam. And then he had to run after them. What do you mean? They were standing in front of him. So that's the Gemara's question. Ikara atu kamu ale. Originally they came, they stood in front of him. Ki hazyuhu dehava letzara. When they saw that he was in pain, Amru, they said, Lav ora fara. It's not dedicated for us to stand over while Avram's in pain. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he saw he was in pain, taking care of the bandages, he went away. So he says, "Man ninu shlosha anashim." Who are these three men? Michael, veGabriel, veRafael. Michael sheba lebaser et Sarah. Michael that came to give the good news to Sarah that she's going to have a baby. Rafael sheba lerape et Avraham, to heal Avraham was Rafael. And Gabriel, azal lemepeche lesdom. He went to destroy Sedom. Ve'aketiv. But what do you mean? The pasuk says, "Vayavo shnei amalachim Sedoma." It says two malachim came to destroy Sedom. So it says the Azal Michael Bahadeh. Michael went with Gabriel Lishizbe leLot in order to save Lot. When it says that they actually destroyed Sedom, it says Vayahafok. Only one angel destroyed. Shma Mina. That what? Only one angel destroyed. That was Gabriel, and Michael actually went to save Lot. The Tosafot over here, the bottom Tosafot on the Amud, says Vetema, Damnim Bereshit Rabba, De'en Malach Echad Oseh Shtei Shlichoyot. You cannot have two one angel doing two different shlichot messengers, do different jobs. And here Michael went to tell Sarah, and then went to save Lot. So Tosfos first answers v'yesh tomar dekan lo ase Michael b'shlichut achat ki ma'ase echad shebisel et Sarah u'sharach misham nizdom az utchala shlichut acheret v'davka b'mkom echad enose b'shlichut. Tosfos first answers only in one place an angel does not do two jobs. Here was two different missions. First mission was to take care of Sarah, to give the good news. Then he went to Sodom, which was considered a separate mission. Therefore, it was okay. Ureshit Rabbah, yesh Rifael ba latzil et Lot. Some say that it was Rifael that went to save Lot. Now, if you say that, then already that's considered all one mission. Because to heal Avraham and to save Lot is all considered Rifuan Hatzarah. Refuan Hatzarah is all considered one item. So, sports languages, yes, Rifael ba latzil et Lot. ופועת אברהם אינה נזכרת ואפילו באה כמו כן לרפות אברהם חשיב ככל שליחות אחת לרפואה והצלה עניין אחת הוא. Okay, comes the Gemara continues, bottom line. מה הישנה לגבי אברהם לכתיב? כן תעשה כאשר דיברת. It says, when Abraham invites the guests in, they right away accept, yes, כן תעשה, we will acquiesce. However, ומה הישנה לגבי לוט? When Lot invited the guests into his house, dichtiv vayiftzar bam meod, he had to appease them, or he had to force them, or impress upon them, in order for them to come in the house. Why did they come into Avraham's house right away, and in Lot's house? Not. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, mikan shemisarvim lekatan ve'misarvim legadol. To teach us that you cannot refuse a big man, somebody that's greater than you. But somebody that's smaller than you, you're allowed to refuse. Hence, Abraham was greater than them. So therefore, they couldn't say no. However, when it came to Lord, they were able to be mitzarev. That's derech eretz. That when somebody comes and gives you kavod, you right away say no. But you can only do that to somebody that's lower than you. But somebody that's greater than you tells you to come in, you don't mitzarev. So therefore, they had to go right in. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ketiv." It says by Avraham Avinu, "Ve'ekha patlechem." Let me go bring you some bread. Ketiv el abakar. That's Avraham. Then he goes up bringing them cattle. Amar Rabbi Elazar mikan she tzadikim omrim me'ad ve'osim harbe. The tzadikim, they say a little, but they do a lot. Rishaim, on the other hand, omrim harbe ve'afilu me'at enam osim. Rishaim, they talk big and they don't even do nothing. They don't do anything. They don't even do a little. Minalan, how do you know that? Me'afron. Me'ikara ketiv eris arba me'ot shekel kesef. Right when he was selling the Ma'arat HaMechbat Avraham, he said, what, 400 shekel kesef? What is it between us? It's nothing. Which means it looked like he was going to forego the price. Ul besof ketiv. And then at the end it says, Vayishma Avraham el Efron, Vayishkol Avraham el Efron et ha-kesef, asher dibir be'ozne ben'ahet arba me'ot shekel kesef over la-soher. Now did he end up paying him 400 shekel, but shekalim that are called over la suhad that are accepted throughout the world. De lo shekal mile ela kantere. Kantere is a certain type of very expensive shekel that Ephron took from Avraham Avinu, which is very much higher than the normal shekel. Over la suhad means he took in a certain far off place. This is what they call a shekel, this special coin. So he took that coin from Avraham Avinu. The ika duchta de karele le tikla, because there's a certain place in the world that calls the shekel kintera. So therefore he charged them according to that place that calls the shekel kintera, kinterin, which is a very high price. Ketiv, kemah, uchtiv, solid. Originally it says that what Avraham tells Sarah, kemah, solid. Go make kemah. Kemah is the cheap flour, and solid is the expensive flour. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Mikan Shaisha Tzara Enea Be'orchim Yoter Min Ha'ish. From here we learn that a lady is more stingy when it comes to preparing food for the guests than the men. Ketiv. Why? What's the explanation? Because it seems that Sarai Menu said Kemach. She wanted to use the cheaper flour. And Avraham Avinu said, no, solid. Use the better flour. So you see that while the lady is more stingy when it comes to the guests. So I saw once a beautiful explanation. Why is that so? Not because she's stingy. Adaba, because she loves her husband so much. So she doesn't want to give the best to the guests. She wants to save the best for her husband. Amen. The Gemara continues. Ketiv. It says, Lushi Vasi Ugot. Says, go tell Sitotara, go make Ugot, go knead the cake. Uchtiv, Vayikahim Ave Halav Ubena Bakar. Vidu Lechem, Loaiti Lekamayu. But it says, he never brought them the bread. What happened? Amar Ephraim Maksha'a. Talmidosh Rabbi Meir, Meshimed Rabbi Meir. Avraham Avinu ochel cholin b'taharaya. Avraham Avinu would eat his food like a kohen. He would eat it b'tahara. Even the cholin, even his regular food, he would only eat it if it was tahor. Sarah imenu oto ayom persanida. That day Sarah got her nida back. She was starting to become fertile again, and therefore, when she was making the dough became tameah. Therefore, he did not want to serve not for himself and not his guests either. Vayomiru elav. They tell Avraham, Aye Sara Ishtecha, Vayomer Hine Ba'oel, Leodia Shesara Emenu Tsinwahita. They knew where she was, the angels. But they did it in order to show Avraham Abinu how modest his wife was, in order to endear Sara Emenu to Avraham. Amaravuda Mara Veti Marabisak Yud, Ima Yumalakesh Sara Emenu Be'oel Aita. Ela Mai Be'oel Kenil Habeba Al Ba'ala, like we just said, that they did it in order to endear her to her husband by pointing out her qualities that indeed she is modest. And she indeed was sinua, because she was in the tent. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Harina Amar, Kedeh Neshager La Koshel Beracha. In order to send her the Koshel Beracha, they made Bekat HaMazon, and the halakha is that they make Bekat HaMazon ala Kos. And it says in the Gemara Berachot that if a lady drinks from the Kos of Bekat HaMazon, it's a Sigula for to have children. So therefore they called her in order to give her the Kos Beracha of the Berkat HaMazon. Tani Mishum Rabbi Yosef. Lama Nakud Al Ayosh Be'elav. If you look at the Pasuk, it says, Vayomeru Elav. Now on the word Elav, it has dots on the letters Aleph, Yud, and Vav, which is three out of the five letters. We have a rule when you have dots on a word. If the majority of the letters are dotted, then you doresh the dotted letters. If the minority of the letters are dotted, you doresh the non-dotted letters. Here, Aleph, Lamed, Yud, Vav, there's four letters. Three of them have dots on them. The Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav. So what is this coming to teach me? So Gemara says, Limdat Torah Derech Eretz. Torah is teaching us the proper protocol. Sheish'al Adam Be'achsan Yashelo. Which means when it said, Vayomeru Elav Ayeh Sara Ishtecha, the dots come along and teach me that it's to show me there's a proper protocol. You should ask about the spouse. When a person comes to the house, you should ask about the achsanya, about the hostess. Just to give like a...
even if you know.
So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Al ayo shebe'elav nakod. In other words, ayo. Ayo shelo nakod ba'alamed ena nakod. Alamed azam v'nakod anet. Lemdat Torah, v'ayinu nikudat ayo. Te'lo yoshrikim nishael. They didn't have to ask. Do you dream ayu shu be'oel? They know that she was in the tent. Dechon nekuda, anytime you have a nekuda in a letter, okeret teva, it takes the teva out of the pshat and puts it into a dirasha. Whenever you see dots on the letter, they're teaching you a dirasha. And what's the dirasha? The dirasha over here is derech eretz. Be'achsanya, she says, eshet uspiza, the wife, the lady of the house. Right? And that's the proper thing. So comes the Gemara and says, so that's what they were asking. Ayesara ishtecha. So bayomeru elav. The elav teaches me, hey, there's something hadush over here. That's why there's dots on it. And it comes to teach me, what's the hadush? That the proper derech eretz is to ask about the hostess. Ve'amar Shmuel ein shualim mishlom isha klal. What do you mean? You're not allowed to ask about a lady at all. It's not tziniut. It's not modest. The Gemara says, al yedei ba'ala shani. No, through a husband, it's okay. If you talk to her directly, no, but via a husband is okay. Now she says, Ayedeba lo shishael la lishlom, ela le ba'ala yishal mashlom ha-geveret. Exactly, mashlom ha-geveret, how's the missus? So that's okay. And that's what the angels were doing. Now, Tosafot over here rejects the opinion of Rashi. He says, if Rashi was correct, so why would the Gemara have to write the dots, so why would the Torah write the dots on the word elav? They should have wrote the dots on ayeh. If it's coming to teach me that it's a proper derech eretz to ask where Sarah is, put the dots on ayeh to teach me ayeh, where is she? What are you writing around the words elav? So Tosafot on the top comes along and says, בבראשית רבה, איון נקוד, למד אינו נקוד, אמר בשמעון, כל מקום שאתה מוצא כתב רבה על הנקודה, Right? The more you doresh, if there's more dotted letters, you doresh the dotted letters. The kancha rekuda rabba tadoresh ita rekuda ayo Avraham. Amar Rabbi Elazar keshev shamru lo la Avraham ayesara kach amru de Sarah ayo Avraham. Which means, just like they asked Avraham about Sarah, they asked Sarah about Avraham, therefore, Vayomiru Elav, you could dot the words Ayo. Ayo means, where is he? So therefore, there was two things. There was Ayo and Ayeh. They asked Avraham about Sarah, and they asked Sarah about Avraham. To teach you over here, that a person should ask about the Achsanya. They should ask about each other. They should ask the husband about the wife, and the wife about the husband. That's why Tosfot understands these sugya. He says, because according to Rashi, the way he learned is a derech is about the misses, so why did he write it on the word elav? It should have just dotted the letters on Achar, back to the Gemara. So a second line before it gets white. Achare beloti haitali adna. Right, she says, after I have grown old, haitali adna, now I am fresh again. Says, Amar avazda, achar shenit bala basar. After the flesh starts to wear out, the rabua kematin, and there's wrinkles, netaden and basar. Now all of a sudden my basar became smooth again and beautiful. Then it pashtua kematin, and the wrinkles went away. The hazara yofi, then come on, the beauty came back to its original place. Ketiv, vadunizakin. Sarah Imenu says, how am I going to have a baby? My husband is old man. Vadunizakin. Uchtiv, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is repeating it to Avraham, he changes it. And he says that your wife says, how is she going to have a baby? Va'ani zakanti. She says, she's old. De'lo motiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu kedamra'ihi. God did not repeat it the way she said it. Ta'ana de'bir b'yishrei, we learn from over here, gadol shalom. Shalom bayit is very, very important. She'afilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shina bo. Even God changed. Which means when Sarah Aminu said, how am I going to have a baby? Vaduniz Akin. God did not want to repeat that to Sarah Aminu or to Avraham and say, oh, she says you're old. That would have caused them, even though Avraham knew he was old. But still, God wanted to show us a lesson over here. That what? That for Shalom, you're supposed to keep the Shalom. You can even make a Shinui. Shinei Emar, but Tzhak Sarah, Bikirba Vaduniz Akin. She says, my husband is old. וכתיב היום הראשון לאברהם ואני זקנתי ותאמר מי מילא לאברהם הניקה בנים שרה. The pasuk says that after Sarah gave birth, she nursed many children. כמה בנים הניקה שרה? How many children did she nurse? She only had one child. אמר רבי לוי אותו היום שגמל אברהם את יצחק. That day that Abraham weaned Yitzhak when he was 2 years old, he was weaned. עשה סעודה גדולה. He made a big party. Hayu kol umot ha'olam menanim ve'omrim. All the nations of the world started to murmur and question if really Avraham was the father. Re'item zakem zakena she'viu asufim min ha'shuk. Look at this. This old man and old lady, they brought a stray baby from the market. They didn't believe that they had this. It's like, ve'omrim b'neinu, and they're claiming that it is their son. Ve'lo od ela she'osim m'shtei gadol. Not only had to make it a big party, la'amid divrehim, in order to establish the truth, even though they didn't believe that it was their son. Ma'asa Avraham Avinu halak v'zimen kol gedolei ador. Sarah imenu zimnat neshotahim, and Sarah invited their wives. Kol echad v'echad v'viya b'na ima, and they all brought their children with them. U'minichta lo v'viya, and they did not bring their nurses. Then ma'asa nes b'sarah imenu v'niftichu dadeha kishneim ma'ayenot. She was able to nurse, the dadim became like two springs that were able to nurse milk to these children. V'inika et kudam. She nursed all of them. V'adai, so to show you that really she was fertile, that she had a baby. V'adai inayu meraninim ve'omrim. Im Sarah habat tish'im shana teled. Avraham ben me'a shana yulid. She's okay, if Sarah could have a baby at 90, that's already miracle enough. But Avraham's going to have a baby at 100? And they felt that she was kept pregnant from Elimelech or somebody else. So the Gemara says, "Miyad nefak el asat parim shi Yitzchak v'nedmel Avraham." All of a sudden, they looked at Yitzchak Avinu's face; looked exact like a spinning image of his father. But who kolam v'amru Avraham holid et Yitzchak? They said, "Indeed, Avraham is the one that bore Yitzchak." Ad Avraham lo ayaz zikna. until Avraham, there was no such thing as old age. Some of them wanted to talk to Avraham, Mishta'i Ba'adei Yitzhak, would mistakenly talk to Yitzhak. Ba'adei Yitzhak, somebody wanted to talk to Yitzhak, Mishta'i Ba'adei Avraham. Ata Avraham, so Avraham came, Ba'ai Rahame Ba'aba Zikna. And he was the first one to age. Now, even though we learned earlier that it said Sarah had wrinkles, the Mefashi pointed out those wrinkles were not seen. They were very fine wrinkles that were not noticeable. Therefore, really, a person did not old age. Shnei Imar ve'Avraham, they were aged in years, meaning, 90 years, 100 years, that was considered zekinim, but facially, they were considered, the same look. That's why it says, Shnei Imar ve'Avraham zekin, Babi Yamim. Avraham was the first one to actually age. Ad Yaakov, told Yaakov, Abinu lo'ava chulsha. There was no such thing as a person getting sick. That means, what happened? A person would sneeze, and all of a sudden, they would die. There was no warning before a person would die. Ata Yaakov, Ba'ad HaHameh, he prayed to God, Ba'ad HaChulsha, Shnei Emar, Ba'yomer LeYosef, they told Yosef, Hine Avicha Choleh, behold, whenever you see the word, Hine is a Hadush, behold, your father is sick. That was the first one to get sick. He did that in order to give he asked God for a warning, that he would know when he's going to die, in order that he can give his children instructions, so he can give his last will and testament. Ad Ata Elisha, before the prophet Elisha came, Lo Avad DeHalish VeItpah, there was nobody that got sick and recovered. Elisha prayed and he recovered from his sickness. Elisha got sick three times. Like the Pasuk says, Hala is one, Cholyo, his sickness, Asher Yamutbo, then there was the final sickness that he actually died from. From here you see that he got sick a few times. That means he must have gotten healed. So Elisha was the first one to get sick and recover. Tanabanan. Shalosha Cholain Hala Elisha. Elisha got sick three times. For three different avonot that he did. Echad shedachafo leGehazi b'shtei adav. Gehazi was Elisha's servant, and Gehazi wasn't such a good man. But there's a claim against Elisha that he pushed him too far, and as a result Gehazi went off the derech. It seems Elisha should have been a little more patient with Gehazi in order to be mekarev him. So as a result of that, he got sick. V'achad shegira dubin betinokot. One time Elisha got to a certain place, and there was the water over there was all salty, and Elisha made a miracle, and he cured the waters, and he sweetened them. There were some water carriers that now were out of business, because they used to supply the water for the salty town over there, that had the salty water. Anyway, they came along, and they started to say to Elisha, Alekireyah, Alekireyah. Arise, you bold one. You have bolded us from our Parnasa. You have taken away our Parnasa. They started to talk bad against Elisha. Elisha then sent 42 bears from the, he sent bears from the wilderness, and the bears came and they took these kids and they killed them. The Gemara is holding over here that it was too strict, the punishment for what he did to those people, therefore he got sick. They had Shemitpo. And then, of course, the sickness that finally did him in. Shnei Emar ve'Elisha Hala, that's one. Et Cholyo, that's two. Asher Yamud Bo, that is the third sickness. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, Ela ad shelo yitchale b'melacha, sheyitchil b'melacha, tzev emolahem aminat, she'en lechem ala ela pad v'ketnit. The Gemara said, if you remember the story of the Mishnah, we had a story of the rabbi that his son went and hired workers. And his son told the workers, I'm going to give you mizonot. So when the rabbi found out, he said, what do you mean you're going to give them mizonot? If you don't stipulate what you're going to give them, you're going to have to give them like a seuda of Shlomo HaMelech. Go tell them, either back out on the whole deal before they start to work, or go tell them that what you meant is bread and beans, which means give them a finite amount. Amar le'Rav HaBere de'Rav Yosef, de'Rav Hasda, pat kitnit tenan, or pat v'kitnit tenan. What's the right text in the Mishnah? Pat kitnit, which means bread made from beans, so it's really one item, or is it pat v'kitnit, bread and beans? What's the exact text? Amar le, he said to Elohim, tziricha vav, ki morida de labrot. It needs a vav, like the stick on the boats. When they used to have the boats, the sailormen used to have a long pole in order to push them away from the rocks. That long pole was called a morida. It looked like the letter Vav. It's a long stick. So he says, it needs a Vav as big as the Vav, like the morida that they use on the boats to push off. Which means, yes, put a Vav in the Mishnah. Which means the text is bread and beans. Not one item, but indeed two. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Eno Tzarich. I called Kamenhage Medina. Rabban Shimon said, you don't have to stipulate it all. The Menhage of the Medina is to give them food, whatever the Menhage is. You don't have to stipulate it all. Hakol Atuye Mai. What is Hakol coming to include? La Atuye Adetan. Hasucher et Apoel. Let's say a guy hires a worker. And you're in a town that there's different wages. Some people get paid a lot, some people get paid a little. So he tells the worker, Ve'omelo, Ke'ehad. I'm going to pay you like one of the guys in the town. Or Uchshnayim. Or like the salary of two guys put together. Mibna'ir. Noten no Ke'pachot Shebeschirut. David of Yeshua. You could pay according to Yeshua the lowest salary that's given in the town. Which means, I'm going to give you like one of the guys in the town. So one of the guys, you look for the lowest salary that's given in the town, and that's what you pay the guy. However, according to Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim come along and say, Mishamenim b'nehem. No, you give him the average. Which means, in a town like that, the Minhag of the Medina is the average. Not the highest paid worker, and not the lowest paid worker. On the contrary, you pay them the middle. And that's what it means, Akol, when it says, Akol k'minhag of Medina, everything goes according to Minhag of Medina, even in that case, where there's no base pay. It's either some get very high and some get very low. The deen is that you pay according to the average. Okay, now we start the next Mishnah. Okay, we learned that Po'alim are able to eat from the Balabayit, if that's the Minhag of the Medina. Or if the Balabayit, let's say, stipulates what they're going to eat. Hamishnah is going to discuss over here that sometimes when the Po'alim are working with food, there are certain times that the deen is that they're allowed to eat. Even without a Minhag, even without a stipulation, there are certain times that the Torah or the Hachamim allowed workers to eat automatically. Okay, what's the case? Ve'elu she'ochlim min haTorah. Okay, the following workers are able to eat from what they're working in, because they're working in food, they're able to eat from the Torah. Ha'oseh b'mechubar lekarka b'sh'at gemar melacha. Which means, when a worker is working on stuff that's attached to the ground, at the time of the tilisha, at the time that they are plucking the fruit from the ground, so the deen is over there, they're allowed to eat from the food. Actually, we have one more line to read in the Mishnah first. Ve'elu ochlim min haTorah oseh b'mechubar lekarka b'sh'at gemar melacha. Shad Gimar Melakara, she says, Gimar Melakha kishetoshinoto. That's at the time that they are actually plucked, as opposed to, let's say, just fertilizing the field and stuff like that. They can't eat. But at the time they're actually plucking the fruit, they're allowed to eat ubetalush menakarka. And on stuff that's already plucked off the ground, it's on the ground already, it was reaped. Ad shelo nigmera melakhto. So long as the level of Gimar Melakha did not happen yet, the final work was not done, they could eat. What does that mean? We have a situation over here of Gemar Melacha. For example, let's talk about if you have a dates or figs. What they normally do is they pluck them from the field, but they're not Hayav in Ma'asir until, you have to give Ma'asir on these things, until they actually make a completion of its process. The process of figs is they used to flatten them out into like a paste of some sort. Once they flatten them out, so then already, now it's considered Gemar Melacha. So until Gemar Melacha, the workers are allowed to eat. By wheat, the wheat is not Hayav in Ma'asir, or the wheat is Hayav in Ma'asir as well, but it's also Hayav in another entitlement called Hala. When is the wheat Hayav in Hala? Once you put water in it and make dough. So the Hadush is that an item that's Hayav in Hala, the workers are allowed to eat it until it actually becomes a dough. Before that, they're able to. So therefore, by wheat, you have a longer time to eat from it. Again, so the workers are working in the figs, let's say. So they have the time until Gemar Melaka, until it's Hayav and Ma'asir. What is it, Hayav and Ma'asir? Until they collect together and they press them in a press area. And by the wheat is since it's Hayav, not only Ma'asir, it's Hayav even in Hala. And the Halas are Hayav until a later stage. The workers can eat from the wheat until even they actually start the process of the Hala. Look at the Shia and the Ma'asir now. The Ma'asir. The Imbar Halahu. The Gemara is going to explain all these reasons. Comes the Mishnah and continues. ובדבר שגדולו מן הארץ ואלו שאין אוכלין. Okay, and the following things a worker cannot eat from. העושה במחובל לקרקע. The guy's working on stuff that's attached to the ground. בשעה שאין גמר מלאכה. That's right, when you're not involved in the תלישה. Like I said, he's just fertilizing it, or let's say he's pruning the onions and things like that, where he's not really actually taking the stuff out of the ground itself, then anyway, there's no eating. Ubetalush minakarka, and stuff that was plucked already, mehash nigmeram milachto. Once already it reached the gemar milachto, that's when it's hayav in ma'aser, then the worker cannot eat anymore. Shish nigmeram milachto, kegon, nitparsu agulim. Okay, that's talking about where, let's say, they put the agulav. They made the dough for the wheat. Okay? Ubedavash in gedolo minaret. Or for that matter, if he's working on something that's not at all from the ground, for example, he's milking a cow or making cheese or something for the balabayid, in those cases the worker is not allowed to eat at all. So basically, let's get the rule of the Mishnah. A worker has a right to eat when he's involved in the plucking of the food, so long as it did not reach yet the stage of Hayav in Ma'asir. In the Torah, you only have to give Ma'asir once there is Gemar Melacha, when the process is complete. So the Torah gave an allowance for the workers to eat. And by wheat, they even let them go until the process of Hala is about to be Hayav. Okay. That is the... By the way, Hala applies to the five grains. That would be wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. Okay, let's start the Gemara. Now we have to see a source for this law. How do we know that a worker is allowed to eat on things that are attached to the ground only bishat gemar melacha, only at the time that you are plucking, only at the time that you are actually removing them from the ground? How do we know that? It says dichtiv, because it says in Devarim, ki tavo bekerem re'echa ve'achalta. It says, and you will come into your friend's kerem, vineyard, ve'achalta, and the end of the pasuk says, anavim kenafshecha suv'echa. You will eat to your satisfaction. So what is this talking about over there? You're going to learn that this pasuk is talking about a worker. Doesn't say that explicitly, but we're going to learn that. It's talking about a worker that came to work in somebody else's vineyard, and the pasuk is coming along and saying that while you're not allowed to put any of the grapes in your own basket to take for yourself, you have to put the grapes in your friend's bed, the one you're working for. You have to collect the grapes, put them in his basket. That means we're learning, because that's what the pasuk is going to say. It's talking about at the time that you're putting the grapes in the basket. That means it's the time of the picking. Oh, so what do we see? At the time of the picking, when you're putting the grapes in the basket, the deen is what? You are allowed to eat. So that is the source. Look at Rashi. Ki tavo ve'achalta anavim. It's four lines there. Lekaman darishta befo'el. We're going to learn this pasuk talking about a worker. It says in the pasuk, "Ve'el kelyecha lo titen." Don't put the grapes in your basket. Of course, they got to put the grapes in the basket of the owner. Mashva ella lekelav shel balabayit titen. Put it in the balabayit's basket. Alma b'shat gemar melachtan heburan kai, which must be talking about at the time of the picking. Because if the Torah is talking about which basket you're putting it in, it must be talking about at the time that you are plucking them. What is the Torah saying? At the time that you're plucking the grapes from the vineyard, you're able to eat. Oh, so that's the source. So comes the Gemara and says, Ashkehan Kerem, Kol Mili Minalan. The Gemara is very technical. Okay, now you found grapes. How do you know all other product? Maybe it's a Gezerat Glue, only grapes. How do you know everything else? Gamrinan Mikerem, I make a Gezerah Shava. Or actually, I can learn a Binyan Av from Kerem. And I'll say, Ma Kerem Miyuhad Dava Shigidulo Karka. בשעת גמר מלאכה פועל אוכל בו, אף כל דבר שגידולי קרקע בשעת גמר מלאכה פועל אוכל בו. Very simple. I said, just like you have kerem. That, we see the Torah says, at the time of the gemar מלאכה, the worker can eat from it, so too any food stuff. At the time of the gemar מלאכה, the worker can eat stuff. There's a certain derashah, it's called the mamatzinu. Mamatzin was one of the 13 ways we learned the Torah between. Just like I found a concept over here, I could apply the rules to a similar case. So that's how I know it.
Gemara says,
no, I cannot make a mamatzinu if I find that my source has special laws. Then I could say, oh, this law is special.
Ma lekerem sheken hayav be'olelot.
Oh, which means, kerem is different, I'll tell you. Because we see that when it comes to grapes, you have to give other entitlements away. You have to give, for example, the small grapes to the poor people when they're in the field. The deen is you have to give the small olelot to the poor people. So I'll say, maybe grapes are different. That's just like you have to leave olelot for the aniim, so we have to feed the workers. But maybe other items, no. Kerem is different.
Comes again and says, Gamrinan mikama.
We're going to learn the law from kama. Kama is wheat that is attached to the ground. And we have a pasuk that tells us the worker is allowed to eat from the wheat.
So the Gemara says, kama gufa minalan.
What do you mean? Where do you know that from? Where do you know kama from?
So it says, because it says in the pasuk, dichtiv, kitavo bekamat re'echa,
when you're going to come and go to your friend's stalks of wheat,
vekataftam mililot beyadecha,
and you will cut mililot beyadecha, the sheaves, and you will eat it. And we know that this pasuk is talking about at the time of Gemara Melacha, because the pasuk says, over there,
vechermesh,
it talks about the chermesh. Chermesh is the sickle. So then we know we're talking about at the time of Gemara Melacha. So we have a pasuk now by wheat that clearly says at the time of the sickling where you're cutting the wheat, so you're allowed to eat. So the Gemara says, wait, ma lekama sheken hayevet behala. Right? You can't learn from hala, kama, because it has a stringency of its own. It is hayav in hala, which means from the five grains, if you make go'at, you got to give hala. So if I can tell you, maybe only wheat or the grains you hayav to give to the worker, because we see stringencies by the wheat. So the Gemara says, "Umimai dahai kama kama de mechayevet behalai." Who told you that this pasuk that's talking about grains, kama, is talking about one of the five grains? Maybe it's talking about a grain that's not hayav in hala.
Dilma kol kama kama rahmana.
Right? Maybe it's referring to a regular grain, a non-wheat, non-barley, another rice, let's say, or a millet. Or one of these items that are not hayav in hala.
Gemara says, no, atya kama, kama, we have a gezerah shava. Kama, kama, ketiva, it says, and how pasuk yitavo bekama te'echa. Uktiva hatam, it says,
by the mitzvah of Omer, where they cut the barley to give the korban ha'omer, it says,
me'achel chermesh bakama.
Now we know that the mitzvah of Omer was given from barley. And it says the word kama over there.
So, ma hatam kama de mechayevet hala.
So too over there, just like we know by the barley of the omer, it was halah, it's hayav halah, because barley is one of the five. So too this kama is talking about barley, that's talking about one of the grains of the hayav.
Also back to the question, ikal lemefrach, ma'alek kama shken hayav
b'halah. So then we have back to the question that, how could you learn from kama? I can tell you kama has a stringency, that it's hayav and halah. Don't tell me that this kama is talking about stuff that's not hayav and halah, because we have a gezerat shema kama kama. So the Gemara says, kerem yochiyah. I'll bring you a proof from Kerem, that Kerem is, you have to feed the workers, and even though Kerem is not subject to the law of Hala. So you see, Hala is not the item. It's not the stringency that brings the result. Because Kerem, grapes, do not Hayav in Hala, and still you have to feed the workers.
Ah, Malek Kerem Shkin Hayav Be'olelot.
But Kerem has a stringency that you give, you gotta give it to the poor people.
Kamaduchiyah.
Well, wheat doesn't have that stringency of olelot, and still. So therefore, you know what? We try to learn from each one individually, but each one has a stringency that the other one doesn't have. So then what we do is, v'chazar adim, go back and forth. This has that. Instead of looking what they have not in common, we look what they have in common. Because we see, obviously, they have different stringencies, but the stringencies are not bringing the result. Because this has olelot, and this has hala, and the others don't have each one doesn't have the other stringency. So what we do is we say, Lord, Ezeh, Ked Ezeh. The stringency of this one is like the stringency of that one. So what we do is we say, Atzad HaShavish, what do we have in common?
Atzad HaShavish, Behen Sheken, Tavashu, Gedolo Karka, Bishad Gemar Medacha, Poel Ochelbo. Of kol davar shuked bekarka, v'shel gemar melacha, po'el ochel bo. Finish. I say what? What they have in common is, first of all, they both grow from the ground, and we have pesukim that talk about workers that are eating from it at the time of gemar melacha, at the time of the plucking. So too, I can bring all items that what? That grow from the ground, and the workers are dealing with it at the time of the gemar melacha, that they can eat from it. Gemara says, wait, if you're bringing what they have in common, I can say, ma letzad ha-sheveh shevim, sheken yesh behem tzad mizbeach. They have in common that both these items, wheat and grapes, are brought on the mizbeach. Wheat is brought, and we know, as in the menachot, as the korban ha-omer, bali, and grapes are brought on the mizbeach in the yayin, in the wine. Therefore, I could say, that's why we're strict on these two items, because they're worthy to go on the mizbeach. Now, once I'm going to make that commonality between them, I'll be able to add one more item to the list, besides wheat and barley. And what's that? Olives. The atana me zayit. I could now include olives, the eat bear, sad mizbeach. That's all the properties. It grows on the ground. People, and the worker can work from it at the time of the plucking. And I can say it also belongs on the mizbeach, because you put oil on the mizbeach. So the Gemara's question now is, I got grapes, I got wheat, I can include even olives, but how do you know everything else? So Gemara says, side point. Now Gemara goes on a side point. V'zayit, v'ma'at sadate. What do you need? What do you need to learn olives from a combination of wheat and wine? Why did you need? You can learn olive straight. How? Hu gufe kerem ikri. Olives are called kerem, as the pasuk says, "Dichtiv vayavair migadish vaad kama vaad kerem zayit." And the pasuk clearly says kerem when it comes to workers eating. So you could have learned olive straight from the pasuk. The Gemara says, "Amar papa kerem zayit ikri, kerem stama lo ikri." Yeah, an olive. They'll call it kerem zayit, but they're not going to call it kerem alone. When you see the word kerem alone, it's only referring to grapes. And therefore, the Torah, when it talks about workers eating, it said kerem, that's grapes, and it says kama, that's grains. How will I know oil or olives from a combination of the two? Just like these two are the mizbeach, and the workers eat it. So to olives, so the mizbeach, and well, the workers can't eat it. So I can't learn it from the actual word kerem of the Torah, because the Torah doesn't refer to olives as kerem; it refers to it as kerem zayit. Okay, comes Gemara and says, "Mikom akom kasha." But we still have a question: how do you know all the other items? Ela amar Shmuel amar kera. It says in the pasuk, "Vehermesh lo tanif." Over there it's talking about hermesh. Hermesh is the sickle that they use to cut the grains. Now, from the extra word in the pasuk, hermesh, lirabot kol ba'ale hermesh. It's coming to include, this pasuk talking about workers eating. It's coming to include all grains that are cut. Now, what is this actually talking about, this pasuk? Let's get the context of the pasuk, to appreciate what the pshat is, and then get to the derasha. Literally, the pasuk says, "Ve'chermesh lo tanif al kamat re'echa." Torah is teaching us over here that he's not allowed to cut what he wants to eat with a sickle. Then the worker is allowed to eat, let's say, but he can only pluck it with his hands. He cannot use a sickle to cut. So the pasuk, "Ve'chermesh lo tanif al kamat re'echa." However, the pasuk didn't have to tell me the word hermesh. It could have said a word, uchli lo tanif. Don't use a instrument. Why did it specifically have to use the word hermesh? So from that's like a specific item. So from the fact that Torah used a specific word, the Gemara is being doresh. Any item that you need a sickle for. That includes not only wheat and the five grains, but that includes any grains. Oh, so from here we learn that any grains are subject to the law that a worker can eat from the extra word hermesh. So Torah just could have written instrument keli. Gemara, what are you talking? We need this word hermesh for something else. Bishat hermesh echol. Shelo bishat hermesh lo tichul. Hermesh teaches me when the worker is allowed to eat. Only at the time of sickling, meaning at gemar
melacha, the time of the cutting. So the Gemara said, no. Hahu, I know from the end of the pasuk. Me ve'el kelyecha lo titen nafka. At the end of the pasuk it says, don't put the product in your own basket. Master, I'll put the product in the owner's basket. But what are we talking about? At the time that you're putting product in the basket. So therefore, that's Gemara Melacha. So I know Gemara Melacha from Me'el Kelyecha, don't put the stuff in your basket. Hedmesh is extra to teach me all sorts of grain. Yabara says, Tina Debar Hedmesh. Okay. This is all good to include all sorts of grains, even things that are not subject to halal, not only the five grains, good, all the grains, because you cut with a sickle. However, how do I know items that you don't use a sickle for? For example, dates. Dates you don't cut with a sickle. How do I know that's also included in the law that the Torah is going to tell me that a worker is allowed to eat from the dates when he's cutting them? So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Bitzhak, Amar Kera, Kama, Lerabot, Kol Baale Kama. Pasuk says, Kitavo Bekamat Re'echa. When you're going to come into your friend's field, what has the Kama? Kama is the things that are standing. So now, this Pasuk is coming to teach me to include Kol Baale Kama. It's coming to include all fruits that stand in the field, not only grains. Which means you told me earlier that the kama in this pasuk was talking about one of the five grains. Because didn't we make a gezerah shava kama kama? And you told me that the kama in this pasuk was talking about grains and a hayav and halah. Now you tell me this pasuk kama is talking about even the dates. Gemara says, "Hani mili mekame dinete chermesh." That was all before I had the derasha from the word chermesh. Hashtad de'ate chermesh. But now that I have from the word chermesh, that comes and tells me, itrabele kol debar chermesh. Now from the word chermesh, from the sickle. What did I learn from the word sickle? To teach me all items that are cut with a sickle. Na'afagav de'lo mechayev hala. Even though it's not chayavin hala. So now I go back to the word kama. And kama, I don't have to limit it only to wheat. Because already I know from the word chermesh is coming to include all items. Kama la'mali lerabot kol ba'ale kama. So again, let me just give you the drasha, what happened outside. Basically, we had the word kama originally. Kama is grains. We said, oh, grains, only grains in the chayav and chala. Because we know we have a gizrasha, kama, kama. Oh, no, but now we have the word chermesh. Chermesh comes and teaches me what? Anything that is caught with a sickle, meaning any type of grains, even grains that are not chayav and chala. Oh, so once you know any grains that are chayav and chala, so go back to the word kama, and I don't have to teach me grains, because grains are not from chermesh. Yeah, like, kama teach me anything that grows in the field, including dates. Comes the Gemara and says, now we have everything. V'hashta denaf kalan, me chermesh, u mi kama, ki tavo bekerim ne'echa lamali. What do I need now grapes for? What did the Torah tell me the pasuk of kerim? Everything can be learned from the pasuk of chermesh and kama. Kama teaches me all sorts of grains, and kama teaches me all sorts of things that grows. Therefore, what is the pasuk of grapes, kerim, coming to teach me? Amar Rava, so Rava teach me chadush of lehilchotav, for its halachot. And you're going to see over here in this pasuk, I'm going to read you the pasuk inside, and the Gemara is going to quote, every word of the pasuk is coming to teach you another halacha. Kedet hanya, as it says in Braita, kitavo, the pasuk kitavo bekerim ne'echa, when you're going to come into your friend's vineyard, ne'emar kan bi'ah, it says over here, kitavo, ve'ne'emar la'alan, it says in a different place, lo tavo alav ha'shemesh, you're not allowed to delay your worker's salary by the time the sun comes down. Just like over there it says, but I'm talking about paying wages, we know it's talking about a worker's salary. So too over here when it talks about the grapes in the field, we know it's talking about a worker. That's how you know it's talking about a worker. Because we have a gezerah shava, right? That all these pesukim over here are talking about workers. Now the Gemara says, Bekerem ne'echa. Oh, the Torah says, when you're going to go into your friend's vineyard, working for him, ve'lo bekerem kuti, which is that, what the Torah says, that you're not allowed to put the grapes in your own basket, That's written at the end. Don't put in your own basket. That's only talking about kelim le'aicha when you're working for a Jew. But if you're working for a kuti, you could put grapes in your own basket. You could take some from the grapes of the kuti. Gemara says, "Hani ha'leman damar gezel kuti asur." If you learn that normally you're not allowed to steal from a kuti who's a goy, that's why you have to teach me a pasuk. Tell me, but a worker can. According to Peter, it says gezel of a kuti, you can always steal from the kuti. Hashtag gezel mutar poel mebaya. If a regular guy can steal from the kuti, you have to tell me a worker, which means this pasuk is teaching me kerem ve'echa, your friends kerem. Oh, to teach me what? Only the Jews kerem. You're allowed. You can't put the stuff in your own basket, but the kutis, you can. What do you mean? According to the opinion that says that kuti I can steal from always, so therefore, what do I need a pasuk for? Because you can, a worker can take, if even a regular can take. So the Gemara says, Mokim la, he'll learn it, bekerem le'echa velo shel hekdesh. That the Torah says, when are you allowed, a worker is allowed to eat from the field? Only when it's your friend's field that you're eating from. However, if it's the kerem of hekdesh, let's say this is consecrated property that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, or somebody made it hekdesh, then of course you're not going to be allowed to eat. So then when you learn to the kerem le'echa velo kerem hekdesh. Okay. Now, Tosfot asked a question over here. Of course, I need a person to tell me I can't eat from the field of Hekdesh. So I would have said, just like you thought, according to the opinion that says normal gezel of a kuti is asud, and the Torah allows a worker to eat and put the fruit in his own basket. So you see, workers have special dinim. I would have thought that maybe a worker can also eat from the Hekdesh. Just like you see, they made a special dispensation for a worker by a kuti. Right? According to the rabbi, it says gates and kuti is normally asur. But he allows the worker, so I would say maybe hekdesh also. That's what the guy has to come along and say. No. Hekdesh is off limits, even to a worker. Comes the Gemara and says, the achalta, the worker is allowed to eat the grapes. The achalta, eat them. Velo motzitz, but not to suck on them. That's not considered eating. Because what are they worried about? When you suck on them, to get the same amount, you have to eat much more. To eat it, you'll eat 10 grapes. But to suck, you have to suck on 50 grapes. So if you're eating too much, it'd be excessive. So therefore, the Torah says, you could eat, but not to suck on them. Anavim, grapes. Ve'lo anavim ve'davar acher. But you cannot eat the grapes with something else. Which means, what's going to happen? You guys are going to put salt on the grapes. What happens when you put salt on the grapes? It makes it much tastier. And now what's going to end up happening? You don't want to eat more. And therefore, it's going to cause you to have a big appetite. So therefore, the Torah says, anavim, yeah, grapes you can eat. But the worker cannot put anything else on the grapes, like salt, in order to give it more taste, because it's going to cause him to eat. Grapes. Eat more. Baruch Amen. Amen.